Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Relay Bitcoin session. This is a very special episode. I'm looking very much forward to it. Usually, we are interviewing and talking to interesting people from the Bitcoin scene, like influential people from the Bitcoin scene, but also entrepreneurs or people from finance. And obviously, it's all about Bitcoin, usually. Same here now. We are talking about Bitcoin, but with different people. Today we have two Relay users, actually super users, to mix it a little bit up. It was a great idea from one of our guys in the marketing team. So now I'm looking forward to talk to two Relay users, and I will ask them what they think about Relay, how they got into Relay, how they got into Bitcoin as well. So that's going to be really, really interesting. Looking forward to that. Hello, first of all, Guillermo from Milano, from Italy.
Hi. Yeah, so I'm Guillermo. I'm from Milan. I currently am finishing my law studies, and yeah, I found out about Relay actually this year around April, thanks to one of your podcasts with Giacomo Zucco, because he is very big here in Italy. And once I found your podcast, I went through your podcast and then went on your site. I saw the app, I tried it, and I fell in love with it and how easy it is. So I'm a Relayer since that point.
Cool, man. Do you know Giacomo Zucco like personally, or just from like social media and stuff?
No, I've never met him personally. I'd like to one day. He comes quite a few times to Milan, but yeah, mainly social media.
Right. I think he is even from Milan, or has a flat there. But I think he's going back and forth from Milan to Ticino in Switzerland. He's actually a good friend and investor in Relay as well. I didn't know if you know that. An investor and advisor and very early supporter. He supports Relay even before we actually got a product out. So he's a great guy.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that that he was an investor, and knowing Giacomo and his background on how he is keen on Bitcoin and Bitcoin only companies, seeing that he was an investor definitely like helped me also look at you guys and say, okay, this might be a good product, let me look into it. And it ended up as being a great product and one that I use almost every week.
Awesome, man, that's great to hear. And are there any alternatives in Italy for like what are people using to stack sats or to easily get into Bitcoin in Italy?
So there are some Italian exchanges. I personally don't use them and don't know too well about them. One is Conio. But most of my friends and people I talk to usually use Binance and Coinbase. Mm-hmm. I try to tell them why they should use those and support a Bitcoin-only exchange with minimal KYC. Which to me is very important. But most people just use the regular Coinbase and Binance, I think, because there's not much attention to smaller exchanges or even looking into what might be the best option, but just what's the first app that you find on the App Store or Google Store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably just the most, the ones people know about, the most popular ones, like in Europe, Bitpanda, and then worldwide, probably, as you say, Binance and Coinbase. These are just the well-known ones, the ones that have been around for years or even almost decades. No, not yet, but like for a long time. And that's why probably people are using them. Why is it important for you to tell people, that they should not use these guys? Why is it that you would prefer them to use Relay? Is it because, the minimal KYC? Is it because Bitcoin only? Is it because it's non-custodial? Or like, and why is this important to you?
It's, well, actually, all the points you made are really important to me. The minimal KYC, I think that governments right now are getting too much information on our data and what we do with our own money. And so having minimal KYC to me is the best option right now. Then also Bitcoin only. I'm a firm believer in Bitcoin only and just Bitcoin. Bitcoin will be the currency of the future, and so I don't think we should help out the exchanges which use also other shitcoins. And yeah, the non-custodial part of Relay is really good. I really enjoyed also the fact that as soon as I had a little bit of money on Relay, there was almost like a pop-up badge which said, "Oh, this might be a bit too much. Maybe think of getting a hardware wallet and putting them on there." And I really enjoyed that. I actually use a Bitbox O2 myself, so seeing that. That was what you guys were telling people to get, I thought was really cool. But also, yeah, this constant reminder that when you have a bit of Bitcoin on the app, to take it out and put it in cold storage. I think that's what everybody should do. I don't see a lot of exchanges doing that. Mainly, these other big exchanges want you to keep your stash and your sats on those exchanges, whilst we need to go in the opposite direction. So this was also, to me, it was also a really important and good point, because it's what I keep on telling to my family and my friends, like, get it out of the exchanges, because it's not secure in the exchanges. And seeing an exchange that goes with that, it was really great for me. So I wanted to support you guys.
Cool. Thank you very much for your feedback and support. I really appreciate it. Let's switch to Nick. Nick, where are you from? How did you get into Relay, and what do you like about it? And how, what's your story?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me. That's a great pleasure. So I'm originally from Germany, but I've been in Switzerland for close to a decade now already. And the first time I heard about Bitcoin was in 2009, and I was doing an apprenticeship in France to be a chef, and the IT, very IT focused guy told me, it's the money of the future. And I was like, nah, come on, bullshit. So it passed by me a couple of times. I did make my way into the financial industry later on. This is where I still work. I work for a US based asset management company. But I really, really got into it late 19, and then as 2020 happened, I was just buying whatever I could, as much as I could. that's a bit of the Bitcoin story. I used to use big exchanges like Kraken, but I think mostly Tales from the Crypt, Matt Odell, and Saifedean, they sent me down the privacy rabbit hole. So I started using a node. And then I started, basically buying most of the purchases every month through the ATM, and then transferring them through the own node. So that was maximum privacy. However, a friend of mine then, I think early this year, he was like, you should check out Relay. And so what I really liked was the minimal KYC. And I don't necessarily say that purely because you're like, okay, I don't give my ID or my proof of residence, etc. I think the good thing is that if it falls away, not only you don't give data, but like you can very quickly buy Bitcoin. I mean, from installing the app to having your first Satoshis in your wallet, it's 24 hours if your bank is rather quick, which is for most banks the case here in Switzerland. So really, I mean, if you compare that to going on Kraken, you have to verify it takes like 48 hours, and then we still need this and we need that, then your withdrawals are frozen and whatnot. So I really like that it's a minimal, like the hurdle to get your first sats is rather low. And I think this is a key to adoption. And it's also what I've noticed when I bring people to Relay, they're like, but then I need to register. I said, no, registration, just send the money. Okay. And I think that helps a lot. I mean, so people are impatient and they can't wait. Like, oh, so I have to get this and then I have to get a wallet and whatnot. So that's like really, really the good thing. And then I used to play around with the Delta Badger because they have an API to Kraken. Mm-hmm. But so for daily purchases, but and it worked. But I think with Relay, if you're like willing to go through the setup and set up five weekly standing orders with your bank, then you're basically buying 5 days out of seven. And so that's what I have now. And so every morning I happily open the app and I'm like, okay, this is another purchase. But the thing is, I was wondering weekly or monthly, but then I listened to Stefan Levera, who had Friar Haas on his podcast. And it's really, I don't want to sound dramatic, but that's really a way to fight it. Like that's the way I think to go. It's like, I like the idea of constant daily buying pressure. And mm-hmm. ideally, in a passive way, like you don't have to. I mean, I don't know. I haven't opened the Relay app for like 2 days, but I know it's doing what it's supposed to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this constant buying pressure, making Bitcoin more and more scarce. And I think, I'm not selling, right? I mean, whatever I bought, you can't buy anymore and go find it somewhere else. And if you have to pay up, then, you know, bad luck for you. So, so this is one very, very nice way of fighting, you know, for individual freedoms. You just every day you take money out of the system and you just become more sovereign. So yeah,
exactly. That's actually what a lot of users are asking, like when do you enable daily stacking options, right? And the problem is actually not with us. It would be very easy for us to duplicate the orders not monthly or weekly, but just daily. But then the problem is with paying, right? No bank that I know, like 99% of all banks do not support daily recurring orders or standing orders. That's kind of the problem. As you say, a lot of people then, we also advise them to do, if you want to do daily stackings, then you can just set up five different recurring orders every day with your bank, and then five weekly orders in your app. And then it's done as well. We will make this simpler as well. Also, the onboarding, as you said, now it takes 24 hours for people in Germany, maybe even 48 hours. So our claim that you can actually buy your first Bitcoin in 1 minute, that's true, because you can just download the app and make your first purchase. But until it actually settles, until you actually get your Bitcoin in your wallet, still takes between 24 and 48 hours, which is still very fast, but people want it right now, right? So also that will be improved in that we will, by the end of the year, add additional payment methods, instant payment methods, like, for example, for Switzerland, Twint, or for Europe, PayPal, credit card, something like that. So then we can really settle the whole purchase and receiving of the Bitcoin within like 1 hour or so, probably. So that's going to be cool. We're obviously working on a lot of these features, so that's why we are also very, very close to the users in our, you know, community chats on Telegram, on WhatsApp, on our social media channels, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, wherever, and even inviting you guys to the podcast. That's great. So Nick, tell us a little bit more about your work. Like you said, you're basically working in finance for a traditional asset management company, and you're daily buying Bitcoin and never sell. You just basically, for you, it's the saving technology, right? You just buy it every day and buy and hold as much as you can. So how much of, because obviously in your traditional asset management, this is probably not what you will, what you guys are advising or what you guys are doing for your customers. So how do you think about the traditional finance way where today it's like, okay, you buy some stocks, some real estate, some bonds, maybe some, you know, other assets, and maybe there's 5 to maximum 10% in Bitcoin, maybe even other crypto assets. Whereas you privately, you're doing, as I understand, you're doing it quite, you're doing quite the opposite. You're basically only buying Bitcoin. So how do you think about this discrepancy?
Well, I think the industry is screwed, if to put it mildly. I think I don't want to get into I don't want to even get into all its prices are overvalued and, you know, equity valuations are I don't know where. I mean, I think the key is, do you own the stuff that you buy? Yes or no. And with Bitcoin, I can prove in an anonymous way that I own it. The stocks that I could buy or the bonds that I could buy, they're at a custodian's or it's a trusted third party. And so that's not something I want to have. I don't want to have that risk. With regards to the discrepancy where what we sell to clients is your average 60-40 portfolio or, you know, whatever have you, traditional bonds and equities, maybe real estate. And then at the same time, me buying, I mean, if people don't want to wake up, then that's they will wake up at some point. I mean, price is going to be much higher, but what can you do? I think the industry is constrained with their allocation the institutional investors, pension funds and insurance companies, they have a hard time buying Bitcoin for their clients simply because there's no regulatory clarity. So it's not like you have a plain vanilla fund, like a UCITS structure fund or a US 40 Act fund. I mean, there's not even an ETF in Europe approved. The US is on it. It's I guess the same discrepancy as in 1990. Some offices have moved over to have computers and others are still on typewriters. And, you know, it is what it is. You know? Yeah, to move ahead. I mean, I cannot buy these things that are so dependent on central banks, you know, propping them up, that are so dependent on the custodian actually honoring my claim when I say one day, can you please transfer these securities to this and that place, or can you please pay me out? I can't do that. I understand people still live in this world, they trust, I think us Bitcoiners have very strong reasons to be very, very careful with these things and be very distrustful.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the demand of your customers, like in asset management, is kind of increasing in the last 1, 2, maybe 3 years? Do you see any development there? Do you feel like there's more buying pressure also from traditional asset manager or financial customers?
In the retail, so we have to distinguish, like you have two types of clients. You have institutional investors, which is, as said, pension funds, insurance companies, central banks also, endowments. And then you have wholesale, which is more like a bank that would approve, say, one of your funds and put it on their shelf, and then they would sell it to their clients. I think where you start to see demand kicking in that more retail sector, where smaller independent asset managers would advise their clients to buy Bitcoin, and then they do allocate some. It starts with the advisors themselves, like they privately hold them, but then they start telling their clients, oh, you should do that too. And clients do allocate. So we are in that 5-10% range. So that's a good thing to see. From what I've seen, it's not self-custody the way it's held. So it's predominantly with third-party custodians, think something like Gemini or even SwissQuote. That's where I see a bit of an uptick in demand. I think it's going to take a while until we see the big guys, the institutionals and the pension funds do it. Especially pension funds are limited by what they can do by law. So the law tells them how much that the law basically tells them you have to have government bonds. I mean, it's insane. Yeah. So who, if you ever ask yourself who's buying these negative yielding bonds, it's pension funds. And why do they do that? Because they have to. It's insane. The demand is slowly picking up, but I would be very careful with this whole mania about, oh, institutions are so-and-so. I think they're still the outliers, the MicroStrategies, the Teslas. They put it on their balance sheet. That's slightly different. But the asset managers, the big ones, the BlackRocks, the Fidelities, etc., for them to come, it's going to take a while.
Yeah, I think so too. It is starting, like already nation states are getting into it, big tech companies are getting into it. Also, smaller hedge fund and asset management companies are getting into it. But until like endowments and pension funds and where really a lot of assets are lying still, until they are getting into it, there needs to be more legal and compliance work. The asset needs to be de-risked a lot in the perspective of all these people. And institutions, because you know, it's just as long as it's classified as a high risk asset, there cannot be a big inflow of institutional money in there. But I mean, slowly but steadily, I think we are getting there, and a lot of the adoption will anyway be driven by probably retail investors and retail demand, and then it slowly but steadily will pick up also for institutions in the next coming. Years and decades, probably. It will take a lot of time, you know, so these things take a lot of time until credit card payments, you know, and online payments like PayPal got really broadly accepted. This is going to take decades, you know, but I think we were getting there with nation states like El Salvador and now even Brazil, you know, publicly stating that they are making Bitcoin legal tender and stuff like that. It's really it is accelerating, which is very interesting to see. So, Nick, Guillermo, what about you? How did you get into Bitcoin? What convinced you to invest in Bitcoin? I mean, I'm assuming you are investing into Bitcoin since you got into it in April.
Yeah, no. So I actually first heard about Bitcoin and a bit later than Nick in 2017. And from some of my friends who are really techie, and at the start I thought about wow, this is great, but I didn't really understand it. I was just seeing like an asset that was kept on growing, so the what we call as NGU technology with the number go up. But yeah, so that's when I first heard about Bitcoin, but I didn't actually study it till I'd say late 2019, and that's when I started to get one of my friends gifted me the Bitcoin Standard by Sifedin, and after that I kept on reading other books and watching videos and trying to learn as much as I could, and then I basically went down the rabbit hole and I realized that it was the way to go, and this will be the future, and it's the hedge on for inflation, and so I just went all in it.
What about your environment, like social environment, like friends, colleagues, family? Are they kind of into it or getting slowly into it, or are you kind of the only one, the only remnant in a lot of no coiners?
Some are. So I have a couple of friends who are in it from 2016, 2017, who are in it big time. Most of my friends still don't get it, or they, when I try to talk to them about it, they're like, please no more, because Bitcoin is the only thing I talk about recently. But some are getting into it. I've convinced my family to start to buy Bitcoin. I see it as a... It's growing, the interest is growing, but to me, not quickly enough. But yeah, we're getting there also here in Italy with people who I thought they'd never know about it or would never care, who are starting to actually look about it and invest. And that's great. But yeah, still very few people who are 100% all in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. I mean, 100% all in, I think, is a very big step. The first step is really to get 1% in, right? So, but I'm also kind of astonished always how we are obviously in a bubble as people who probably our whole Twitter feed is about Bitcoin, and you know, all our newsletters are about Bitcoin. So we are very in a big bubble, and we are kind of the early adopters and are into it. That's fine. But then I'm still always astonished by how much these normal people, like your family, friends, colleagues, are not into it at all, and they maybe heard about Bitcoin once, and then they just don't care. They don't seem to care. They don't seem to be interested in it. They don't think they will ever understand it, and they don't have an intention to invest in it at all, not today and not tomorrow. So why do you think, maybe first Guillermo and then Nick, if you have something to compliment, why do you think it's like that, and like how could we change that, or how could how are more and more people getting interested in the topic?
Yeah, so I think mainly regarding to Italy, because it's where I live, but most people still get their news from newspapers and mainstream media, and there's been quite a bit of an attack on Bitcoin by these people, and most people just maybe read the headline of the article and don't think about checking if it's true, if it's not. I found myself quite a few times, especially in the last period, discussing about the energy use of Bitcoin with people and why what they are actually saying is not correct. So it's mainly what I see is misinformation, and that's the only thing they read. And so to them, it's just that, and they see Bitcoin as bad, or something that's it's gonna implode and someone's gonna take it down out of nowhere, and everybody's gonna lose their money. But with these people, what I found is that if you actually can have a conversation with them, most of them will end up understanding it and wanting to know more. It's just that maybe not a lot of people think they know Bitcoiners, or they don't reach out to Bitcoiners. And that's what I think is missing. Like, if you know someone who is invested in Bitcoin close to you, just reach out, talk to them. I'm sure any Bitcoiner would have an amazing time chatting about Bitcoin and trying to explain to you why your misconceptions are wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. I also think that's how people actually learn about Bitcoin. It's not with some media, it's not on social media, or it's not with online content that they are reading or books that they are reading. Like some, yes, but like most of normal people probably learn about it via conversation of people they know, people they trust, who are already into Bitcoin, who are already bought in to kind of the system and understand it. And that's basically how you learn everything in life, probably. The first convincing moment you usually have in conversations with people you respect and you trust, right? Maybe Nick, what's your take about this? You seem to be in Bitcoin for a long time already, and seem to go very deep in the rabbit hole. Is this the same with your environment? Like, is everybody you interact with in Bitcoin already, or do you have some no-coiners or newbies around you, and how do you deal with them?
So the share of people I spend time with who are not Bitcoiners is becoming smaller over time. So I can say that. But I think the barrier to adoption, so here it is. I don't want to categorize people, but I do think there is a generational difference. And the main difference is to what story do people respond. So if you take the 50 plus, 60 plus people who sit on significant amounts of wealth, they do not respond well to the story, it's the money of the future. Because what they have problems with is networks. Every network that they have enjoyed has been beneficial to them. The internet was beneficial to them. Social media and professional social media like LinkedIn, that was good for them. Okay. Bitcoin, however, and also the cost of not joining, something like LinkedIn, it was there, but it's not problematic. The cost of not joining Bitcoin is going to be massive at some point in the future, okay? I think it's already now because of inflation, but it's going to be significantly higher, a couple of years down the road. But if you join Bitcoin because, you see that in the future not joining it is going to be an issue, you have to challenge a lot of assumptions about economy, about money, about the government, about basically about authority and, everyday life. So there's a significant amount of cognitive dissonance that happens if you go to somebody who is like 60 years old and it's like, this is the money of the future. Now, if I contrast that to a 19-year-old, I'm going to tell them this is the money of the future. It's the network. They have seen Twitch replace YouTube. They have seen, I don't know, Twitter replace some parts of Facebook. They have seen Rumble starting to take share from YouTube. And so to them, so if I've met a couple of young people, I'm like, you should get Relay and buy some. It's the money of the future. They're like, okay. You know, and no questions asked. I mean, So who owns it? Who controls it? But it's digital. Can't I copy? These are non-issues to them. They are so accepting. And then that's, in a way, it's scary, right? Because they so willingly hand out their data to other providers. So, but to them, the fact that networks exist and that networks grow in an exponential fashion and that it's cool to be part of the early network adopters, that's so natural to them. Mm-hmm. But to older generations, there's really a barrier. What helps older generations is the, look, we have inflation and people are, this is starting to take rounds too. I mean, numbers are coming out. Yeah, the CPI is all, it's fake in the sense that it's calculated very, you know, in a very, positive way for central banks. I mean, but people are starting to understand, whoops, prices are going up and because gold hasn't been doing much, you can really position Bitcoin as the hedge to inflation. They do not respond, this older generation, too well to the permissionless network, because permissionless starts going into the, oh, you have to challenge, you know, government's role into not freezing your bank account. Okay. So I think we are just dealing with different levels of cognitive dissonance. The cognitive dissonance in the older generation is from the having to challenge the current system that they have grown up with. And in the youth, the cognitive dissonance is, how easily do I set this app up? How quickly do I get to my first Bitcoin? And this is why I think these payment methods like Twint or credit cards are so tremendously important, because the attention span of younger people is just significantly lower. On the other hand, the good thing is that the willingness to challenge and probe everything and poke holes into it is not that high as it is with the older ones. So we really have to segment the market and approach them with a different story. And that's going to help reduce friction to the adoption.
Absolutely. Very good points. So many good points you touched here. And so you said you are actually actively referring Relay or maybe also other Bitcoin services to these people who seem interested, like these younger generations, probably most likely who understand very fast in a fast way how this network has value and how owning Bitcoin and maybe even getting a savings plan up and running and get some more, stack some more Bitcoin every day or every week or every month can be valuable for them and can build some wealth for them and is a savings technology. So those people who understand this, you say it's very important to get them onboarded very easily, very quickly. So, and you most likely are a Relay ambassador, right? And you probably also make some sats by referring it to others, which is cool. So how do you go about this? Maybe what can you share some experience you made? Maybe what could be improved or what worked really nicely? Like, how did you go about referring the app or Bitcoin in general to other people, and how did they react to it? You know, can you share some stories?
Yeah, but it all depends who the person is in front. But I mean, we don't have to fool each other, right? I mean, there's the current state of affairs is that government is quite a bit intrusive. So if you have people like this around you who also believe that the things that are currently happening in this world aren't normal, then you can go and say, okay, hey, this is one way to fight back. Okay. And it's much less of a hurdle to fight back by from your bedroom buying some Bitcoin rather than going onto a protest. Okay, so that's good. That's very good, because it's a very small hurdle. To these people, I would then go, hey, this is one way to fight back. Give me your phone, download it. Here's my code. You're gonna pay less. That works pretty well. To the tech people, again, I say, hey, you know, it's the money of the future. And then the next group, I think that's very interesting. And that's the cool thing about Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a network, but you can hijack other networks with it. you know how Jimmy Song wrote this book, Thank God for Bitcoin? He is hijacking Christians who are also a network, and he's introducing Bitcoin in there. The folks who spoke to Jordan Peterson, he has a following. He is a network. They're hijacking that. Another group that's going to need to be hijacked, and it's happening, is gamers. So you can play Counter-Strike with Lightning already, and this is happening there. So I think everybody has their thing that they care about, and if you can find a bridge to Bitcoin, which over time you're going to find it, you just have to be a bit creative about saying, hey, this is touching Bitcoin. Your daily life is touching Bitcoin. You may not know it yet, but you should get some. And I tell you, I mean, I get multiple referral payments each day, a sat here, a sat there. And I don't do it. Yeah. I mean, I don't, there's not a day that doesn't pass what I don't get. I mean, and people want more. They're like, oh, set me up another. And I help them. I set me up another weekly payment or so.
You actually set it up for them, because it's still, so it still seems too complicated for them than to set it up themselves, right?
Well, it is complicated, because you have to go into your bank account, you have to create a standing order, you have to copy paste the reference code, you have to. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, but it's not so much your fault. It's just banks are complicated. It's incredible. But I mean, this is like the hard part of it. I don't know. I'm not sure. Twint cannot do recurring payments, as far as I know. Credit cards could. So most people have a credit card, they just put it in there, and then it just auto debits. I think that's going to be a significant improvement. If you can remove the, oh, I have to go into my online banking app, oh, now I have to unlock, then sometimes banks are like, oh, can you please verify this receiver? It's ridiculous. So I really like the fact that you're going to get credit cards on it, although it's expensive. But fees are not the problem, I think. It's really how easily can you get your first Bitcoin.
Absolutely, 100% agree. Guillermo, what about you? Are you referring Relay to some people, and what experience did you make with them?
Yeah, so, well, I agree with everything Nick said just now. And I'm referring Relay to friends, family, and people I know, because I go about it. It's usually people that just maybe use Coinbase or Binance, or maybe have never bought Bitcoin, and who ask like, well, how do I buy Bitcoin? And I'm always like, well, this is what I use. This is the service I use and the service I trust. And I always tell them, you don't have to use this, but if you don't know any, just use this, because it's why I use it. So you can trust this service, because there's always this this question that I get is, oh, but is this service trusted? How do I know that I'll get my Bitcoin? Won't they scam me? So yeah, referring something that I use is pretty simple. And yeah, like Nick said, I've also had to set up a few recurring payments for people, and it's not because of how Relay does it, but it's because most of my friends, also are younger generations, are not used to going into their banking app and setting a recurring payment, so they don't know how to do it, and they're afraid of making mistakes, and so yeah, just mainly end up helping them. But yeah, I feel as well like the entrance, the hard parts for the entrance point is mainly that, because yeah, the fees is not really a problem. I don't see it as that. It's just ease of use. But yeah, so it's just once it's set up and they forget about it, and it keeps coming in, then they come back for more, and that's been my experience with telling people how to do it and putting them on a Relay.
Awesome. Yeah, that's very good to hear. It's really also a validation again from what we hear from users and what we see from research that we do, that really fees are one problem, especially if there are several types of fees. So because now with our external broker, with Bitty, we have the problem that we cannot really influence the fees. We can influence our part of the fees, but it's not the only part. So right now, unfortunately, we have a 3% commission that includes also a spread for the broker, a percentage fee for the broker, and a percentage fee for us. Plus, the broker also introduced a couple of months ago a fixed fee on every transaction, which is now, I think, around 0.00002 Bitcoin. So, you know, some it was probably between 1 and 2 Swiss francs, but still, it's another fee that is there. And especially for small payments or small investments, and most of our users do small investments between 10 and 100 bucks. For like 10 bucks, 20 bucks, this is stacking up to like 10, 15%, which is obviously, you know, crazy. It's way too much. So this is one problem. We will solve it by the end of the year, actually beginning of November. We are releasing what we call Relay 2.0 with really like a new revised UX UI with a revised branding. We will have our own broker, so we will be independent from Bitty, and also can really work on the fees a lot. So we will have a way clearer, easier, and also lower fee. And then, you know, there's also these additional payment methods, as said. So this will also make the app way easier. For example, there will be no payment message to be included anymore. So you can just say, okay, I want to buy 100 bucks in Bitcoin, and then I send the money from this IBAN, and you can send the money and you get back the Bitcoin without payment message. Or then even a step ahead, I want to buy 100 bucks, here's Twint credit card, you put the details in and you get it like after an hour or so. So this is really the big goal, that we achieve this easy and cheaper onboarding process until the end of this year. So to hopefully also enable these guys to do their own savings plan and not always having to run to you guys. But yeah, it's a, you know, it's a never-ending work. But that's why it's very important to hear from you guys, to hear from the ambassadors, from the super users, or also from the normal users, really, to, you know, how they feel, how they experience it, how they're way of doing it is, so that we can know where to work at and where to make things easier. So maybe to conclude, how did you see or how did you observe the last half a year or a year in terms of newbies coming into Bitcoin? Because for example, what I saw, and I'm in Bitcoin for like 5-6 years now, or like 3-4 years really intensively. Also, you know, my whole work basically is around Bitcoin. And I saw a lot of people who first are very dismissive. You know, first they criticize it and they look at it and they think it's a fad, it's nothing. And then they keep coming back in like half a year or yearly terms, keep coming back, talking a little bit about it. You know, they get interested more and more in it. And in the end, and I see like in the last 6 to 9 months, I really experience a lot of them making the leap, saying, okay, this thing is not going away. I kind of understood now how, like very superficially, how this will be the next kind of currency, the next money, that this is a savings technology, that it does make sense. It will not go away. It will keep going up on long time frames. I want to invest now. So a lot of them are making the leap now, also because there are easy services like Relay, and also because they observed it and dealt with it for quite some time now, that they are now convinced. What about you guys? Do you have similar experiences, or how do you think this developed the last couple of months and will develop maybe the next couple of months? Maybe Nick, you want to go first?
Sure. So I think Bitcoin is a battle of narratives. It's a meme war. And I really mean it. Like, we can meme things into existence. And one meme that has really caught up is the auto DCA meme. And I think, was it Willy Wu who, when he did his on-chain analysis about the last sell-off, can't remember, it was like May or so. He's saying the small fish, quote unquote, they were outperforming the bigger wallets because they were just simply, you know, stupidly buying every day. So I think I agree with you. There is more newbies coming in. It's very much the number go up just drags more people in, and they keep on buying. I think really, if I compare it to today relative to, say, January, February this year, people have become more open. I don't know what it is, but the discussion feels easier. Mm-hmm. And auto DCA is just a nice way. And what really helps is that if you have the standing orders in there, it keeps on buying. You don't need to do anything. So I think it's a testament to what Relay does, what the similar companies to Relay do. I think if you can observe, I can, and you said you can as well. If you can observe this improved acceptance and easier conversations about it, then this is a testament to the great work you have done, and you can pat yourself on the back for it. I mean, it's really that.
Thank you. Appreciate it a lot. Thank you. And I agree with your points. I think we can, and we did, all of us, like the whole Bitcoin community, did push this narrative, like DCA, just buy small stacks of sats every day, every week, every month, for a long time already. I mean, Ruben started this with GetBitter, I think 2017 probably, or something, or 18. And it caught up, like the story caught up. People like Friar Haas and Stefan Livera and you know, all these influential Bitcoin people talking about it all the time. All the services popping up in different continents of the world, like Swan Bitcoin in the US, Amber, the Amber app in Australia, Relay and others in Europe. So you know, this is really pumping this story, this narrative, this savings plan and savings technology narrative of Bitcoin. I think we're all doing a great job in that. I totally agree to that. Guillermo, do you have anything to add, like your observations or experience last couple of months, next couple of months? What do you think? Like, how do you see new people coming in? Are they coming in easier?
Yeah, so definitely no. I have to agree. The last couple of months have been great with Bitcoin getting track again. It definitely helped. I feel like early 2021 there was a lot of with the people I talked about. There was a lot of but it's gonna be a bubble. It's gonna crash. It's going up too quickly. And then when it crashed, some of these people were see, this is what happens. But then now regaining, whilst Bitcoin is regaining, there are more people are noticing, oh wait, maybe this isn't going away, I better invest. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, it's been about talking to people and saying that we're still early, it's not late to invest, and the auto DCA definitely helps. Like, invest a small amount every day, every week, every month, what you feel comfortable with, start with that. Just keep on going and forget about it for a couple of months, a couple of years, and you'll see the results. And yes, but I definitely think the narrative that's gaining traction about don't have to invest a big chunk of money, but there's small amounts of money every day, every week. This really helps people get into it, because instead of thinking as Bitcoin as, okay, I'll invest straight away a couple thousand euros or something, it's okay, I can afford to invest a little money. And then they see that this money won't go away, they get their position increases, then so this brings them to actually learn about Bitcoin, and then eventually most people will invest more and they'll tell about people about DCA. And yeah, I think that's the past couple of months there's been a big push on DCA, and I feel that helped, and that brought more people to ask questions about Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point you're touching upon. Like, you can actually buy a fraction of Bitcoin. I don't know how many times I already said that to newcomers, because it's really one of the reasons why they haven't bought Bitcoin already is because it's too expensive. And I'm like, what? I mean, you can start with $10 on Relay, and they were like, what? But then I'm buying another cryptocurrency. I'm not buying Bitcoin. I'm like, yes, you're buying. You can, you know, buy a fraction of Bitcoin as low as $10. The barrier of entry is very low, and then they only open their mind to Bitcoin because they think kind of Bitcoin is only for the rich guys now. It's because it's 50K, it's 60K. So that's very interesting. Also, telling us that we just need to do the basic education more and more and more, and keep going on doing it, because these are the simple questions that are still open in the minds of newcomer people. And once they understand these basics, then they are basically convinced very quickly. And I also agree
I was about to say, you could almost consider, when you do Relay 2.0, to only have Satoshis. Like, do not show balances in Bitcoin. I think this number, the huge number, is really a problem. I agree with you. It's like, I can't buy a whole Bitcoin, so I can't afford it. But if you own, it feels good. Like, you put $2 in and you do have 5,000 sats. That feels like a lot.
Right, so, absolutely. But then there's another problem. We really also thought about that and discussed it with different user groups and stuff. But then the next problem is that they think it's another currency. A lot of them don't really understand that sats is actually a smaller unit of Bitcoin. But we definitely will have both, and we have it more dominantly, so that really sats and Bitcoin are interchangeably. Right now, it's kind of only the people who know how it works, they can switch to sats. It will be way more visible and easier to switch from Bitcoin to sats. But I think that's a very important point, especially for the referral payments, right? When you get these 50 cent or 70 cent or one Swiss franc referral payments, then in Bitcoin, they look like 0000 nothing. But in sats, they're actually like, 5K sats or 10K sats. You know, it's more fun, right? Absolutely. And I also agree to the price point that you made, Guillermo. It's like that we really feel it a lot when the price spikes, more and more users are coming in, because also more users, more people are getting in. Interested in it, more people are looking for it on Google, like typing the where can I buy Bitcoin phrases in Google, and also more media is talking about it, PR is talking about it. So this is definitely a big influencing factor, how the price is doing. And as the price was doing well, and like kind of big changes in the last couple of months, that's also why, again, more people are got an interest in it. So last question for you guys. I start with Guillermo. How much of your total wealth — you obviously don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but it's also always an interesting question — how much of your total wealth is, you know, like in percentage into Bitcoin?
So I'll quote the guy who made me get into Relay, and I used to have a lot, but because since I like boats, I unfortunately this summer I had a boating accident and lost all of my Bitcoin, and so now I'm slowly trying to build up, but I'll do more boat trips, and I don't know, boats don't like Bitcoin, so.
You should stop doing boat trips then, and just keep on stacking.
Yeah, but they're so fun.
All right. Nick, what about you? What's your answer?
I was on the same boat as Guillermo, so. No, it's percentage-wise, it starts with a 9. I mean, I have to do the math, but it's over 90%. I mean,
wow.
I mean, there's a minimal liquidity in the bank account and the money to pay the taxes, and there's minimal liquidity to pay for holiday. Mm-hmm. But that's it. The rest is if you're going to do this, you're going to do this right. I mean,
so do you think this is something more and more people, also normal people, will start doing, or is this something only really us freaks are doing, like having 80-90%?
Here's a fun thing. I mean, you can start, say you had started last year this time with 30% in Bitcoin. And if you did nothing today, you'd be like 95% just by price appreciation. So whatever you do, you know, if you have 1% Bitcoin, if you wait long enough and don't do anything else, it's going to become 99% of your portfolio anyway.
Mm-hmm. If you don't sell, if you don't rebalance.
Never sell.
Never sell.
If you don't have to, never sell. But yeah, no, also minus, because it's with the, it starts with a 9, because also I don't have a lot of expenses, and Nick said, when also talk to my friends and stuff who start maybe with 5% in Bitcoin, and then they get more into it, it's for for a young guy, like I see no point in investing in stocks or anything else other than Bitcoin. And I feel like more young people will be like this. So it's always going to be in the high 80s, low 90s, probably.
Awesome. Wow. That's very interesting, guys. Thank you very much for taking the time. It's really, really cool. I really like this episode. Do you have anything to say also for to the you want to tell the Bitcoin and the Relay community something? It's now the time. Maybe Nick, you can start.
Well, I think the community is awesome. I think you guys are doing a great job. I wish Relay all the success they can have. It's well deserved. It's deserved from an entrepreneurial perspective. It's deserved in my point of view, from a moral perspective. And so, yeah, I mean, stack sats and keep hodling.
Stack sats, keep hodling. That's a good quote. Thank you very much for the nice feedback. Really appreciate it. Guillermo, something else to say for the
I have to agree with Nick. I love the community of Relay. It's what also kept me here at the start. It's what brought me in, and then so I stayed. And you guys do a great job reaching out to people on Twitter, on Telegram, and who doesn't know who follows Relay, go on their Telegram. They do important news there, and always try to help if you have some problems. And yeah, stack sats and hodl, like Nick said.
Very cool. Yeah, props to our community and social media manager Arsene, or aka at Satoshi Baggins on Twitter. He's amazing. Like, he's very active. Social media and community manager. He's basically the voice to the outside from Relay, and he's doing an amazing job. He really that's how he built and manages and feeds the community online is really he's doing a great job. And by the way, just a disclaimer: I did not pay these guys to say all these positive things, right? Maybe they will send me a Lightning invoice later, but so far I did not pay one sat for them to tell this. No, thank you very much, guys. It was really a pleasure to having you on, and looking forward to release this episode very soon, and talk to you soon. Maybe Guillermo even next weekend in Milano. I'll hit you up.
I'm looking forward to that, and thank you for having us.
Of course.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good rest of your day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.